students enter in on both the Gospel Radio Network as well as YouTube Studio. And as well, if you're joining us on WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, we're certainly grateful that you have joined us on that venue, and we want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their times of services. I know that they will welcome you with open arms, and they are a group of people that love visitors, and they're a group of people that desire to study the Word of God with you. Well, if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, we want to welcome you to the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Let's see here. What else do we have on the agenda that I need to make sure that we mention? I do want to mention the 5th Annual Men's Development Conference in June, that is June the 2nd through the 6th, 2020, at the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas. It's always a wonderful event. It's been growing every year. We have almost an overflow crowd in regards to especially the nightly meetings with regards to the gospel meeting. It is a wonderful experience for the men at the Men's Development Conference, for anyone who desires to attend the gospel meeting that is associated with this every night. And then also this year, there is a ladies' class that will be offered at 2 p.m. Now, Sister BJ and Sister Mona will be teaching these classes, but in reality, they have been doing something similar to this for all 5 years, the 4 years preceding this, with the preparation of this, teaching young ladies how to be good hosts and hostesses along the way. And so we're very grateful that they can be a part of that, because we get a lot of ladies that attend the young men of the Men's Development Conference. They attend with their husbands, or they come and they help and are associated with the background work, and now they can have instruction along the way with this. All right, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. If you'd like to give us a call, make a comment, or ask a question that is related to today's program, then we would love to have you. My apologies for last Friday. We were not able to get to the Q&A. We will, Lord willing, have that this week, but I needed to make a trip with a couple of elders, and we did that on Thursday night and Friday, and so I was not able to be with you during that particular time. Nevertheless, we persist on in answering your questions, and we do have a couple of questions that are on the agenda. But if you have any questions that you would like for us to answer on that Open Mic Friday, then please get those to me, and I will make sure that we give you a Bible answer for your questions. All right, this week we're going to open up a study, and I'm thinking that it's going to take us at least the week that is Monday through Thursday in order to be able to really do the research and to study this particular topic of the seven pillars of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1. And we'll get to that as soon as we possibly can in today's program. But this to me is and has been a wonderful, wonderful study over the years. And, of course, that passage in Proverbs 9 and verse number 1 says, "Wisdom hath built her house, and she hath hewn out seven pillars." Now, seven is a very unique and special number in the Bible. Sometimes it literally means seven. Sometimes it is symbolic of that which is perfect. in its scenario. It's a combination in apocalyptic literature of 3 and 4, and 3 represents, generally speaking, in apocalyptic literature, represents the concept of God, of deity, of heaven, of heavenly things, and 4 represents those things of the earth. So when you have the combination of the heaven and the earth, God created in the beginning, then you have a perfected number. 6, you will recall, is an evil number because it falls short of 7, which is perfection. And so that's how apocalyptic literature and poetic literature oftentimes works. But sometimes 7 just means 7. That is, if you're on YouTube Live, then you can see that I'm holding up 7 fingers. That's not symbolic. That is actually 7 fingers. And actually, I guess, and a thumb. But anyway, 7 fingers are being held up. And that is literally 7 items. And so we'll look a little bit more into this beautiful passage. I mean, you can see just from the statement itself, wisdom hath built her house, she hath hewn out 7 pillars. So I look forward to our study today as we dive into this particular passage. It's good to have, I can see that some of our Bible students have logged in and are... Sister Sainer from South Oklahoma, Southern Oklahoma, Sister Jensen from Washington State, and Sister Higgins from South Texas have joined us and have logged in. And we hope that, by the way, just a side note here, if you would like, put your name in the chat window or tell us where you are from. Your name will come up when you sign in, and that way we can know where our Bible students are from. But nevertheless, we know that we have several that are out there and several that tune in during the program, and we're so grateful that you have chosen to be with us today and to join us in our Bible study. All right, we have just a couple of things that we want to get to. We have our song. We have a prayer. I'm going to do this like we have started a habit of doing it. We're going to have the song. And while the song is playing and while we are singing along with this particular song, yes, you do have to put up with me singing through this because I have no mute mic. It's just live and open. And I love it that way. But I understand that it might not be as tolerable from the listening point of view as it is from the actual singing point of view. But we'll have our song, and during that song, if you have a prayer request, then please put that into the chat window so that we might have that for today's prayer list. All right, well, let's go ahead and... engage with our song, Walking on Heaven's Road.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no need to stand there, ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks seem so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, a beautiful song. And as we mentioned, following that, we certainly want to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. So let's do that at this time. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee, we are so grateful that You would allow us into Thy presence. We realize that in and of ourselves we do not belong here, that it would be imminent death for us to approach Thee in any sense without the blood of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for His wonderful sacrifice. The vicious nature in which He was crucified certainly declares to us the horribleness of our sin and the great grace that You have demonstrated to humanity in allowing Him to endure and to overcome that death upon the cross. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for that wonderful confirmation of the resurrection, His coronation, His ascension, His coronation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful that He is the blessed and only potentate. We're mindful that He is the head of the church. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would grant us into Thy presence through His sweet and precious name and blood this hour. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the many people that are going through difficulty. In the Memphis area, our Heavenly Father, there have been a string of murders and deaths, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that those who have done these things might be brought to justice, and that that justice might be swiftly applied, and that the hearts of wicked men might not grow stronger and stronger. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for a local police officer in the South Haven area who was hit by a vehicle and suffered great damages and to his physical body. We pray that that his family might be able to comfort him. But more than anything else, our Heavenly Father, we pray that these individuals might be able to find Thee, that they might be able to know Thee, that they might be able to enjoy the sweet blessings that are found only in Thee. We're mindful of a local fireman who is missing, and we pray for her swiftly to be found. We're also mindful of Sister Jensen and her mother and her mother's recent move, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You might be able to strengthen that resolve to be able to do what is best, and that those things might cause both of them and that family to draw closer to Thee. We're mindful of the many missionaries throughout the world, our Heavenly Father, and the many individuals that are going forth into Thy word in foreign countries. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for each of them, that they might possess safety, but more than safety, that they might boldly proclaim the truth of Thy word, regardless of the cost or the consequences. And we pray that upon each member of the body of Christ, wherever they may be. Thank You for allowing us, our Heavenly Father, into Thy presence, and we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I have another song that we're going to play in just a minute after we finish the Bonner Minutes, or the Biblical Minute that we have with Brother Bonner, and these are written texts that Brother Bonner sends to me each day, and I am so appreciative. We're going to have Brother Bonner here in the first week in May for our gospel meeting here in Nesbitt, and I am so looking forward to spending a week with my brother. I miss him dearly. And the only thing, I shouldn't say the only thing, I miss my brethren there. I love my brethren here in Nesbitt, but I do miss my brethren in San Angelo. And above all, I will tell you without hesitation, I do miss my brother Mike Monner, and I'm looking so forward to him being with us. But today, I want to make note of a text that he sent out, and here is what it says. Learning when to strike or not, or when to talk or not, depend on the time and or the opportunity presented. There is a time for everything. We must seek wisdom for both, James 1 and verse number 5. We have to live carefully, Ephesians 5:15. We have to allow God to navigate, Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. And then he quotes from Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And he says to us, be safe and use good judgment today. You know, I couldn't think of a better Bonner moment than this one here. I appreciate so much my good brother for all the work that he does in the kingdom of God. This is another Paul Mays song, and as such, I felt like it really caught the theme of what we are going to be talking about this week. And so here we go with his song, Pearls of Wisdom.
Our Heavenly Father has shown the way to live and to serve Him and what to say in every part of this brief earthly life. God loves His children and He shows us light. Pearls of wisdom from thy word, where Jesus imparts his loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I only learn. Take the truth you offer in inspired word, as struggles hinder your walk in the Lord. The answers are found in his inspired word. For every temptation he's made an escape. Give up your life and let the Lord reshape.
Pearls of wisdom from thy word, where Jesus imparts his loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth you offer in inspired word. Take what he offers and reap the reward. A life spent in service blesses you all the more.
The light God has shown us is pure through and through.
Pearls of wisdom from thy word, where Jesus imparts his loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth you offer in inspired word. Pearls of wisdom from thy word, Jesus imparts his loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I, Lord,
take the truth you offer in inspired word.
All right, my friends, that's a new one for our program, and we hope that it will become a pleasant song for us this week as we reflect upon pearls of wisdom, as we talk about the seven pillars of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1. Now, I'm sure that many of you have heard of or at least have seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia. It's a very well-known and very popular movie some years ago and won several accolades. But in the years between 1911 and 1918, T.E. Lawrence led the desert Arabs and all of those tribes to fight it with the British against the Ottoman Turks. And after the war, Lawrence published his memoirs in a book entitled The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And he borrowed that title from this particular passage in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1, which again says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out seven pillars." But what were these seven pillars? There, it is said that if you travel over to where Lawrence of Arabia or T.E. Lawrence was during that particular time, that there is an area where in the backdrop there is a mountain range that appears to have seven prongs or seven fingers or seven extensions, high rises, you might say, in that mountain range. And that may have had something to do with the seven pillars of wisdom. But there are some very interesting things about Hebrew literature, especially as it applies to this particular section as you read down through verses 1 through 6 there. And we'll talk about that in detail as we continue. But what is interesting in this passage is that as with wisdom in chapter 1, wisdom is personified, and it's personified as both feminine and plural. Now, that may seem strange that you would say, well, why is feminine and plural interesting? Well, the modifiers are all singular. So this is unique, and I shouldn't say unique. It's different than English literature. Generally, we match, right? If someone is plural, then the modifiers are plural as well. And in Hebrew literature, sometimes there is power suggested in the changing of plural to singular with regards to the modifiers. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, it is interesting as well. Now, this is not Hebrew wisdom literature, but it is Hebrew literature, wherein God is plural, and yet the modifiers are all singular in nature. In other words, God, plural, let us, plural, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make carries with it the ideal that they acted in unity. So it demands a plurality, in fact, a trinity throughout the rest of the Bible, but a plurality of individuals that possess God, the nature of God, and yet they act in complete harmony and unity. That's what's being suggested here with these, with this being both feminine, plural, and the modifiers being singular. Wisdom built her house. She carved out, she hewned out seven pillars. Now, it's not unusual that wisdom is personified as a female, nor is it unusual here that the words are plural. But it is interesting how Hebrew literature is put together. It's a beautiful language, and we probably should do more to study the languages of God. That is, the languages God spoke in and wrote in both the Old and New Testament. But here's the question that puzzles so many, even in their study of this section, and that is, what are the seven pillars? Now, I don't know that T.E. Lawrence ever answered the question in what is a very lengthy journal. It exceeded 250,000 words, and yet he never answered the question, what are the seven pillars? In fact, it is somewhat interesting to people who have read Lawrence's biography as to our memoirs as to why he entitled it The Seven Pillars of Wisdom, especially if you're not going to name or identify what those seven pillars actually are. And so it is interesting to me that when you look at this text, that we still come to the question of what are the seven pillars? Well, there's a wealth of information found in the book of Proverbs itself that might help us to gather some evidence about what these seven pillars actually are. I would suggest that a person would do himself a great deal of give himself a great deal of knowledge and insight if he was to read chapter 1, especially beginning in verse number 20. And I don't want to read the entirety of the text. I mean, I may spend more time than I probably ought to in this study, but I do believe if we're going to begin anywhere in a study of God's Word, we ought to begin with God's Word, right? And so let's look at the text itself in Proverbs chapter 1, and well, let's back up to the very beginning of the section in chapter 1, and verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. Now, I want you to notice there that the proposition and the objective of the book is given at the very outset, where John, you remember in John 20, 30 and 31, gives us the thesis of and the objective of his lesson in at the end of the book. The book of Proverbs starts out and tells us what its thesis is all about. And so then he begins, notice here in verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This whole first section into chapter 10 is all about the instruction that Solomon is going to give to his son. And you will find multiple statements in this regards. Notice verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament, of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now here's some of the instruction he gives. My son, verse number 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse number 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. In chapter 2, in verse number 1, he says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, he says, if thou criest for her, as after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now notice find the knowledge of God. Notice 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and here it is also the end result of our search after knowledge. But I want to turn your attention now to chapter 3 and verse number 1, where he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." In chapter 3 and verse number 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Chapter 3 and verse number 21, "My son, let not them depart," that is the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, "let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion." And I wish we had time just to go through this whole section and notice every single principle, but it would simply take us too long for the time that we have. But let's drop down to chapter 4 and verse number 1. "Hear ye, my children," or "hear ye, my son, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It talks about exalting her as well. But look at verse number 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Chapter 4 and verse number 20. "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Verse number 23, it says, a very famous or well-known verse, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now we turn our attention to chapter 5 and verse number 1. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear under understanding, that thou mayest regard thy discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge." Chapter 5 and verse number 20, he says, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" Chapter 6 and verse number 1, he says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself." Verse number 20 of the same chapter of chapter 6, he says, "My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine hand, and tie them upon thy neck." Chapter 7 and verse number 1. He says, "My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, and write them upon the tablets of thine heart." Notice with me in chapter 7 in verse number 24, he says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth." Now then, with all of that said thus far, we have the instruction of a father to his son. He wants his son to have the wisdom. Remember that Solomon obtained his wisdom by permission of God. You remember as you go to 1 Kings chapter 3 that God says unto Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. And it's interesting that Solomon did not ask for gold. He did not ask for fame. He did not ask for fortune. He asked for wisdom. Wisdom that he might be able to lead the people of God. Verse number 9, it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? What a desire to have. More elders and preachers, those in leadership roles within the body of Christ need to have this kind of prayer upon their lips. The Bible says in verse number 10 that this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And so he promised to give him much more than even he asked. And so Solomon, the one who was granted the wisdom of God to judge his people, to judge God's people, then wants his son to be able to have that same wisdom. Now, we know the rest of the story. We know that Rehoboam did not possess the wisdom of his father. In fact, he chose the wisdom of young men over the wisdom of Solomon's court. The wise men that had exceeded Solomon in life were now giving aid to Rehoboam, and he refused that wisdom. Men who had walked with Solomon were no longer of any value to Rehoboam, his son. All of the wisdom that Solomon had written down for his son goes by the wayside, and he listens to the young and the foolish men. Now, with that in mind, I want us to spend just maybe a few more minutes by talking about wisdom and the ability. And by the way, that's what wisdom is it not? Wisdom is the ability to give divine counsel to others. That's really what it is. When you boil it down to an applicable definition, it's the idea of being able to give wise counsel. And when we talk about wise, it is divine. But I wanted to add that into our understanding of what we're talking about here. So notice with me in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 14. The Bible there says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Verse number 12 says, I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So the companions that we have in life is important to whether or not we are going to exhibit wise counsel or whether or not we are going to exhibit foolishness in our lives. So Proverbs 8 and 14 says, wise counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Strength is bound. I love the way Daniel says this in Daniel 11, 32. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You see, having the understanding, knowing God is not just knowing that there is a God. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Hebrew writer would say here in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to be pleasing unto God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, now notice this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, faith demands not just a knowledge of the existence of God, but also of the things of God. God blesses certain kinds of people, and he condemns others. Wisdom knows the difference in those individuals. And it dwells with those of good counsel. It dwells with those who have sound wisdom and understanding, and therefore they will have strength. Notice in verse number 18 of Proverbs 8, it says, "Riches and honor are yet with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness." Now this is interesting, is it not? The very concept of riches dwell with men who have this wisdom. Of course, we see that Solomon possessed not only the riches of the world, but he possessed as well and first the wisdom of the world. Now, by the way, having access to wisdom and being wise does not always mean that your will engage with that wisdom. We see this, of course, in Solomon's life, right? We see the fact that even though Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth, that he did not live after that wisdom. You know, a man might be a great man. Even Sheba, the queen of the south, comes all that way just to sit down to test Solomon's wisdom. What a smart lady she must have been in regards to that. But she's going to test Solomon's. She finds him worthy of all the things that she has ever heard about Solomon. She finds him worthy. And indeed, she says that, "Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 7. But I want to call your attention to chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, we find them, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and Zidonians and Hittites, of all the nations," or of the nations, "concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall you come; they come in to you, for surely they will turn away your hearts," or your heart, "after their gods." But yet it says, "And Solomon continued to clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away." You think God knew what he was saying when he said, "Stay away from these because they will turn your heart away"? You know, it is interesting to me. I've made mention of this before, but the strongest man in the world was Samson. And yet his demise was because he failed to listen to God's advice about women. Solomon is the wisest man upon the face of the earth, and he fails because he does not give heed to God's advice about women. David is the closest man to God, and yet David fails because David does not give heed to God's advice about women. Now you think about that. The strongest, the wisest, and the closest to God are those who fail because they do not listen to God's advice about wicked women. They couldn't stay away from them. They, even though Solomon knew better, he loved wrong. And so knowledge and wisdom does not always, and this is important, David knew better, Solomon knew better, Samson knew better, but what? They didn't do better. They didn't invoke their will in relationship to carrying out the will of God in their lives. And so his heart was taken away. Now, with that in mind, I want us to spend some time in, well, before we get there, I do want us to go to Proverbs 14 and verse number 24. I got to talking about something and forgot a couple verses here, so I want to go back just a little bit. Proverbs 14 and verse number 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. And then Proverbs 15 in verse number 33, we've been talking about Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You go through, if you cry out, if you really want it, if you go through the process of desiring, see, engaging the will, the volition of man has to be involved in this search. He says, then you will find the fear of the Lord and understand knowledge. Proverbs 2 and verse number 5. But notice here in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. You see, in order to engage the will toward the divine, there must first be a humility. I must first understand who God is. That God is God and he's not a man. I must understand who I am, that I am a man and I am not God. That I do not have the power within myself to direct my own ways, Jeremiah 10:23. That I need to trust in the Lord and in his wisdom, Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. And so it is important then that I began this journey with great humility, that I am not the end all of all wisdom and knowledge here upon the earth, but that I continue to search after, that I continue to love knowledge and love wisdom and love understanding, and that I am in a search. I'm on a journey to learn more of God's word. That humility, that beginning point of humility, is an important part. And so here is our question. What are the seven pillars? Right? That's we're talking about the seven pillars, but again, we ask the question, what are they? Well, some would suggest, I will tell you that the seven pillars are not just outlined one after the other. Solomon does not say in verse number 2, well, the first pillar is, the second pillar is, the third pillar is. There's no specific indication like that of the seven pillars. So that has led many to suggest a great deal of things. For example, some would, taking their cue from all that we have talked about in the first eight chapters, would suggest then that the seven pillars are these. You might want to write these down. I think they are definitely seven great pillars of wisdom. Whether or not they are these seven is to remain in our study. But notice, number one, counsel. You'll find these in everything that we've talked about. Counsel is mine, he says in Proverbs 8 and verse number 14. Knowledge is another. So you have counsel, knowledge. Number three, understanding. Number four, might or strength. Number five, power or authority. Number six, riches. And finally, number seven, honor. Some have suggested that those are the seven pillars of wisdom. Now, some go entirely outside the context of the book of Proverbs and the context of these first 10 chapters, and that's not necessarily forbidden because the Bible itself is a context, right? We always ought to consider Psalm 119 and 160, all that God says on the subject. And so now we turn our attention to the New Testament. And some have suggested that James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 is the perfect divine commentary on Proverbs 9 and verse number 1 and the seven pillars. And it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse number 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Some would suggest that the seven pillars of this Lady Wisdom is here in this particular context of James chapter 3. They are certainly wonderful wisdom principles, are they not? But I'm not so sure that the seven principles are found in James chapter 3 either. Might I suggest, and we have just enough time to briefly go over the seven pillars that are contextual to chapter 9 and verse number 1. And hopefully throughout the week, we will be able to spend more time talking about these seven things. And so let's talk about Proverbs chapter 9. If you'll notice, the context does not end at verse number 1. It's not a single verse proverb. It is a multi-verse proverb, and it goes down through verse number 6. So let's read the 6 verses here that Solomon has for us. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now, briefly, I might suggest unto you that there are 7 pillars that have just been listed for us in this context. Number 1, now remember, this is a lady, wisdom, who is preparing 7 pillars. And in the context, she is preparing a meal. She is a wonderful hostess. And she is making sure that everything is ready. It's obvious that there is a great feast that is about to take place, and she has invested her time and energy to make sure that this feast is well designed and well carried out. So the first thing she does is have advanced preparation. So the very first pillar of wisdom would be advanced preparation. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine in chapter 2, in chapter 9 and verse number 2. Some things must be done before the dinner is served. Now, my wife certainly understands this. When we're having people over, there's a lot of advanced preparation that goes on. From the extra cleaning of the house, the tidying up of certain things, meals have to be, some of the meal has to be prepared in advance. If there's any meat, it's certainly going to be thawed out, thus she hath killed her beast, right? I will tell you that my wife, when she makes sweet tea, she mingles that ahead of time so that that's already done. You see, and all of these things are taken care of. She's going to make sure that everything that can be done is done ahead of time. So advanced preparation is a part of this 7 pillars. Well, number 2, I'm going to suggest that orderly organization. Now, it almost seems like there's redundancy here, but there's organization that she has ordered in this house. Look at verse number 2 in the second part of that. She hath furnished her table. Proper arrangement of the dinner makes for practical and manageable life during the process, right? And so she knows, generally speaking, where their kids, where they're going to sit, where the guests are going to sit, who they're, you know, if it's a big place, you got to worry about who's sitting by who, right? Marriages, when they have their dinner, you find that, oh, we wouldn't want to set that person by them. They don't like one another. And, you know, that can become a great hassle to the woman of the house in regards to some things. So she hath furnished her table. She wants to make sure, by the way, that everything on the table has easy access, right? Proper arrangement will make the dinner go better. If you don't have to always be getting up for the salt and the pepper. Sometimes my wife, because of the length of our table and the multiplicity of people we're having in our house, she'll put salt and pepper shakers on either end. So that everybody can have access to that. And that is an important aspect of orderly organization. Well, I told you we was going to get to all of these. I've only gotten to two of them. My apologies, time just flies when you're enjoying yourself. Well, we will start there tomorrow, and we will pick up with some of these. I want to get through everything before we go into detail about all of these items. And so we'll pick up tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll be able to join one another in this endeavor as we continue to study God's Word. God bless. Have a beautiful day. Amen.